You're gonna heat lightning, and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous fight.
Yo, Adrian! I did it!
You cannot leave the theater in the middle of the movie. Unless you want to be deceived for the rest of your life. Because if you leave the theater in the middle of the movie, that would be the crisis point. That would be the low point of the movie. And every director... Every director, every writer, whether he's writing a screenplay, a stage play, a television show, he's gonna bring you to a low point before he shows you the sequel. And they didn't make it up, folks. They didn't make up the elements of a good story that keeps you involved, that thrills you at the end, that makes you throw up your hands and say, hallelujah, woo, wasn't that great? Wasn't that inspiring? Wasn't that uplifting? No, they didn't make that up. God made that up. All God is the Shakespeare supreme. Shakespeare has nothing on God. God started this ball rolling way back when. What does he do? He creates an earth, and then the earth becomes a chaos and vacant. I know the common translations say the earth was void. How does the King James read? It's terrible. The earth was a void. No, it became that way. That's the proper translation there in the first chapter of Genesis. God's earth is ruined, and then he begins to recreate it to show his power. Here comes Adam on the scene. Things are going great. Whoops, what happened to Adam? He sinned. He fell. God's universe is ruined. No, it's only Act 2, because now we're setting a stage for a Savior. Oh, here comes the law of Moses. Looking good. Moses is bringing it down. Holy crap, the Israelites are dancing around a golden calf. That's the end of the movie. Israel's damned. No, that's Act 2. It's the crisis. They're going to be saved, and wait till you see it. That's Act 3. Whoa, I'm getting way ahead of it. Welcome to Friday. You know, you can leave at the middle of the movie, but you're going to miss the rest of the story. All this death and destruction down here has a happy ending. Of course, unless you're a member of religion. If you're in a religion, then you do not have a happy ending. Oh, maybe you do. If you do the right things, if you believe just the right way. But possibly your friends are not going to have a happy ending, or your children, or your parents, because most of them are going to get damned. Here's the happy ending of the Christian religion.
Death is eternal. Torment is eternal.
This is a nightmare.
Pain is eternal.
Oh no, we're all doomed.
Despair is eternal.
Oh, I can't take it anymore.
Where do I sign up for this religion?
No, that is not God's resolution of what you see happening down here. You're leaving the theater too soon. Did you know that the book of Revelation is not the last word God has for us? This really messes a lot of people up because they see it in the last of the order, in the scriptures, in the arrangement. But at the end of Revelation, we have the second death in operation. Late in Revelation, we hear about the second death, chapter 20, the lake of fire. There are many people cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. I acknowledge that. We have a city, New Jerusalem, sounds wonderful, and yet outside are all these terrible people, these curs and whoremongers. They're outside the city. Do they remain that way? No, they don't, because that is still Act 2. Revelation might be the last physical book of the Bible, but it's not the last revelation we have. That was given to Paul. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians goes beyond the second death. He goes beyond the new Jerusalem. Yes, he does. He does, because he goes to a time when Christ gives up all reign to God. He's still reigning on the new earth in the new Jerusalem. He's a king at that time. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that one day Christ is going to give up his reign. He's going to abolish death. This is post-Revelation, because in Revelation, the second death is in operation. 1 Corinthians 15:26, God is going to abolish death. And the reason, the purpose, is plainly stated in 1 Corinthians 15:28, that God may become all in all.
Yes!
There, I just gave you the good news. Now we're going to go back to scene two. You know, I'm not going to tease you. I know. It looks like I tease you because I tell you I'm going to do something, and then 10 days later, I actually do it. But I want you to keep that goal that God is going to be all in all in your heart right now. I'm going to get into more details later, but keep that. Let that encourage you, because now we're going to plunge back into the chaos. But now you know that the chaos is going to result in something wonderful. Chaos itself isn't wonderful, but it's going to produce something wonderful, because God is the divine alchemist. He turns all these bad things into good things. And I've studied screenwriting. I got a book at Barnes & Noble called Idiot's Guide to Screenwriting. It screamed out to me, this book's for you. So I picked it up, and I didn't know this before, but every play, every movie consists of three acts, three parts. It's almost universal. Well, it is universal. These three acts are Act 1, Act 2, and Act 3. Simple enough. Let me explain this to you. In Act 1, you get your people up a tree. I'm using the tree as a metaphor. You get them in some kind of trouble in Act 1. This is universal. This makes a good story. This is the skeleton of a great story. In Act 2, you throw rocks at your people. You give them all kinds of obstacles and troubles, things that you're never going to imagine they're ever going to overcome. And in Act 3, you get them down. You know, you can't even sell a movie in Hollywood unless you have some kind of happy ending. You have to have a resolution. You have to have a build-up, a crisis, and a resolution. You study any movie, you're going to find this, even Mary Poppins. Yeah, it works in Mary Poppins. The kids are estranged, remember? They're estranged from their father, and they're going to get a new nanny. They tear up all their nannies. They just destroy them. And here comes Mary Poppins floating down on her umbrella. It's a picture of God. It's a parable. I'd love to go into details of this movie, because there's so many spiritual things in this movie. I was just teasing you earlier when I talked about the sex and violence. But anyway, here comes Mary Poppins. She gets the kids to understand what love is, and then she begins to work on Mr. Banks. She starts to work her magic on him, but not before a crisis is reached, the low point of the movie. Banks loses his job at the bank. You remember, the bank president doesn't even get his joke about the man with the wooden leg named Smith. Love that movie. And the great resolution is that through the ministrations of Mary Poppins, Mr. Banks comes to see the light. And his children, he's reconciled with them, his wife loves him again, and everything's happy. And that's Mary Poppins. The same thing happens in Rocky. And now, yes, we're getting down to my Rocky imitation. I'm showing you all these things to illustrate God's methods, because really they're not much different. And I know, you know, yeah, I anticipate that argument. People are saying, well, God's ways are not man's ways. Man does this a certain way. Shakespeare wrote plays, and Mary Poppins was written in a certain way, but God's not like that. So you're telling me God's worse than that? You're telling me that man at least comes up with happy stories, but the ending to God's stories suck? God's ending is chaos and violence? Man, are you people missing the boat? If God does not exceed Mary Poppins, then he's not God. It's going to be better than Mr. Banks reconciled with his children. God's going to take everything to a new level. This is primitive what man's doing. And God doesn't do worse. God exceeds it. He exceeds our expectations. More so than Steven Spielberg or George Lucas. God is much better than George Lucas. Take that thought with you over the weekend. Yo, Adrian, I know I still haven't gotten to my incredible Rocky imitation, and I don't do this on purpose. I have so many things to say. I get on sidetracks. I hope some of it's valuable. Again, my goal is to give you one thing new every day that you learn. One thing you take away from. What are you going to learn from today? That the man with the wooden leg named Smith, he had another leg. Nobody knew what its name was. That's what you're going to take with you today. I'll see you Monday, and I'm going to do Rocky. I promise you. I'm Martin Zender. Have a great weekend.